Father's Day or Dad's? One at a time. Who you say? Joseph? Okay. Joseph, Jesus' stepdad? Okay. Somebody else? Somebody says stepdad. Yeah, he is a blended family. That was not his dad. That was his mom's husband. All right. Somebody else? Abraham, Father Abraham. Who else?
Samuel, David.
Job. Who?
Job.
I'm ignoring you. Who else? Genesis chapter 6. Sister Denise got it. I tell you, Genesis chapter 6, page 13, your Bible. Go ahead and turn there and get open. Get ready. I can't walk today, can I? I've got to stay here. I was considering and praying about dads in the Bible, and I came across those names because we consider Joseph and the influence that he had on Jesus. We also talked about Jesus and the children last week to launch our Bible school. But as far as dads go, I considered David as a father and his father. I considered Jonathan's father, Saul. And as I continued to pray about it, I came back, because we talk about different things. I came back to Noah. And I really believe this is exactly the message that God has for us today. Though it is one we recently covered in our Sunday night study, though it is one that you are probably familiar with in speaking of Noah. In verse number 5, the Bible says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, man's heart, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within, without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. And he describes there the way that he wanted it done. Verse number 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Let me ask you a question this morning. On Father's Day, and we celebrate dads, and we're glad to celebrate dads, and I'm glad to be a dad. I celebrate my children. I'm glad all my children are here today, and that's what fills my heart on Father's Day, is being a dad. But Noah had to do grand things, hard things, to save his family. In order to save his family, he had to build a monstrosity, a tremendous vessel, in which he could load all of the animals and people, and there was enough room on there for all the people that wanted to get in it. But the main thing is Noah had to build that to save his family and to save himself. And dads, I ask you this morning, and moms, how hard will you work to save your family? How hard? What's it worth to you to save your children from damnation, from judgment, from hell? What does it mean to you? How hard are you willing to work? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Child came, wanted to get, got prayed and got saved. Wanted to get baptized. I said, of course, like we always do with children who are not part of the church, ask your mom. Mom said, well, you'll have to wait till you're 14. I'm going to tell you what kids will do by the time they're 14 if you don't put them in church under the Word of God. If you don't give them something to belong to, if you don't give them direction, and if you don't invest in their spiritual future, I can tell you what they'll do by the time they're 14. The jails, the juvenile halls, the probation offices, the prisons are full of children, of adults who when they were children, their parents said, wait for another day. I know you prayed and I know it was important to you to get saved, but in order for you to get baptized, in order for you to become part of what God's doing, in order for you to belong to the church, you have to wait. And people treat church like it doesn't matter, like it's not important, and wonder why their kids run wild. Wonder why their kids don't love them, and wonder why their kids don't love God, and wonder why their kids rebel. And some of you will say, but Pastor, I took my kids to church, and they were in church, and they still rebelled. But that's not your fault, is it? I tell you what, Jesus said in our text last week, woe to them by whom the offenses come. He said the offenses will come, but don't be the one to offend. Look, children are going to act up. Children are going to rebel. Children are going to backslide. When they turn 18, they're going to try to, they may try to go out and see what the world's all about. And they may have a taste of sin. But don't let it be your fault. Let me ask you, will you trust God for His solution? God looked at Noah. He said, Noah, I've got a plan. What if Noah said, I don't like your plan, God. You've got to come up with another one. God, I know that's your plan. You say, well, I know, preacher, that's what you preach, and I know that's what you say is a solution, but I don't know if that's what the solution is. You know, I've been reading this book by a psychologist, and I believe that maybe he knows the solution. Well, I can tell you one thing. If that psychologist speaks against anything God said, that psychologist is wrong. I didn't say everything they said is wrong. But if you find a preacher or a teacher or a parent or a doctor or any kind of counselor that's going to give you advice that goes against God's Word, find you another one. We need to go to the Word. How hard will you work to save your family? Will you trust God for His solution for your family? Will you endure hardness? You think it was hard to get up and go build every day? How many of y'all say, yeah, I know, because that's what I do. That's what I did. Yeah. It's hard. You get up there and go build a boat in the middle of the desert. A great big, I mean, could you look at that thing? And some of you have been up there and seen the replica. You say, I wonder if that thing will float. You know, that must have been mind-boggling at that time. Now we have destroyers and battleships and carriers and all these things, and we say, well, we can make it float if we build it just right. God made, He told Noah how to do it, gave him the dimensions, told him where to put the window, where to put the door, all that stuff in there. But don't you know it was hard to get up and go every day and build that thing? Don't you know it was humiliating? His friends wouldn't help him because they said, what's the point of building this thing? Why are you doing it? God told me to. Why? Noah, who do you think you are? God talks to you. And you know, people in the world today still say the same thing. Oh, well, God talks to him. Vice president says, Lord, led me to, or put it on my heart, or God spoke to my heart, or whatever. Oh, what a fool. Look at that religious nut. Humiliation, resistance. How many of you ever tried to get your boys up to go do anything? Anybody ever do that? Now, my sons, they always are ready to help Dad. As long as it's something fun. Boys, it's time to get up. Oh, Dad, can we sleep 10 more? How many of y'all heard that before? Time to get up. We got to go, guys. You're burning daylight. It's time to move. We got to get this ark built. We got work to do. Oh, not today, Dad. We're going fishing today. Right? What's it worth? How many people this morning, when Mom and Dad got up and said, let's go, get ready for church, and the kids said, oh, can't we go to the pool? Can't we go to the beach? Can't we go to the ball game? Can't we go... What did they do? Did they drag them to church? Did they give them what they need? Or did they say, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's just go play today. Will you endure it alone if necessary? And let me ask you this, will you start today? You say, well, Pastor, my kids are grown, but are they living right? Can you go to them in love and put your arm around them and say, I love you. I love you. And I just, look, you may not want to hear it, but I'm concerned about you. And I know some of you do, and some of you have, and you're going through this right now. But will you do it? Will you endure it? Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating and drinking. How many of you know there's a lot of that goes on around here? Look at our waistline. You can tell there's a lot of that goes on around here. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You see, the whole rest of the world was in status quo. They were doing what they always did. They were going to school. They were going to sports. They were going to parties. They were living it up, living it high. Other sons and daughters were playing ball and tanning at the beach and sleeping in. You know what verse 39 says in Matthew chapter 24? Until the floods came and took them all away. How would you like to have been the one who told your kids, that guy out there, he's a fool. That guy's been locked in there for all week. He got those boys up there and their wives and their everything, giraffes and dinosaurs and alligators and gnats. You know, I don't know why he put them on there. They probably just snuck in, didn't they? Mosquitoes. He's a fool! And then it started raining. And have that little boy, that little girl look up at you and say, Dad, what's this stuff falling out of the sky? Is this that stuff that Preacher Noah was saying was going to come? Daddy, is it going to flood? Daddy, is this water up to our ankles? Is that something we should be concerned about? Is it too late to get on that big thing that Preacher Noah was building? How would you like to have your child look up and look you in the eye and say, Daddy, were you wrong? Daddy, was it the right thing to do for us to just play instead of going and listening to Preacher Noah and working with him and helping him? I wonder how much quicker the boat could have been built if everybody would have jumped in there. Until the flood came and took them all away. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, it says that the world was condemned by Noah's action. You know why the world was condemned by Noah's action? Because Noah proved that there was a way that could be followed. I want you to understand something. You have no excuse when you get to heaven and stand before God in judgment. And He says, why didn't you get saved? Why didn't you trust Christ? Why didn't you lead your family? Why didn't you take the lead and be the example? Why didn't you live for me? Why didn't you serve me? You say, well, I didn't know it was important. Because right now, I'm telling you, it's important. Right now, we're reading it right from God's Word that it's important. And my sons and my daughter may not like everything I do, and they may not think that I'm the greatest man alive. But it won't be because I didn't give them an example to follow God. I'm not saying I was perfect. They know I'm not perfect. But I've led them straight and I've shown them this is not a game, this is not a joke, this is not a put-on, this is real deal. Noah condemned the world because he showed them that God's way works. Genesis chapter 6, you still there? I mean, are you still here? Y'all awake? Verse 8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Dad, Father's Day, have you sought God's grace? Have you humbly sought God's mercy? His forgiveness. Have you humbly sought the forgiveness of those you've wronged? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says Noah was a just man. Are you a fair, just, justice, law? Are you a fair disciplined man of righteousness. Just. He was perfect in his generations. Look, it says these are the generations of Noah. And then it says he was perfect in his generations. What he's saying is Noah stood out. Of all the generations, look, the generations of Noah, they were wicked. They were hellions. But when God looked down and saw Noah, Noah was outstanding. Noah was a man of faith. Noah was a man of righteousness. Noah was a man of discipline. Noah stood out. What about you? Are we so busy trying to blend into the world that we can't live for God? That we can't stand out for God? When people need or think of Jesus, when they have a spiritual need, do they think of you as being a leader of righteousness, a leader of truth, a Bible believer, a prayer, a Christian? Do they think of you? Noah stood out from his family because he didn't excuse sin. He didn't say, hey, let me just break here just a second and tell y'all. My grandfather, on my dad's side, I have to clarify that since my mom was back there. On my dad's side, my grandfather was a counterfeiter. He spent time in jail in Alabama because he was a terrific artist. He liked to draw them presidents. He got involved in a counterfeiting ring and boy, he could draw them presidents just right. I don't think he ever went to prison, but he did spend some time in jail. My grandfather, same grandfather, was an alcoholic. He cleaned up later in life, but that alcohol is what killed him. It gave him the disease that led to his demise. I've got history in my family of all kind of things. Let's not go down the list, please. I do have some respect for my family. Won't confess all their sins. But does that mean I can do it because they did it? If somebody said, well, I just got it honest. How many of you ever said that? Well, they got it honest. And so, I could be in jail and say, well, just following the family plan. Noah didn't excuse sin because his family was full of sinners. And look at what that says there at the end of that verse. And Noah walked with God. How about it? Are we walking with God? Think about it. Have you been anywhere this week where God said, I'm not going in there? I'm not going in there. No, I'm not going in there. You been anywhere this week where you said, Lord, can you just stay outside? I'll be right back. The Lord said, wherever you go, I go. So if you go in there, you're going to drag me in with you, and I don't want to go. Noah walked with God. Verse 18, God says, and I will establish my covenant with thee. Are you walking in covenant with God? Have you entered into covenant with God? Have you prayed and said, God, I know I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. God, please forgive my sins. Forgive me and save me. And God, I give my life to you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to live for you. What does chapter 7 and verse number 5 say? Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse number 23, every living substance. Chapter 7, verse 23, every living substance was destroyed. Both man and cattle. Would that have included your children? Would that have included you? Noah only remained alive, look, and they that were with him in the ark. You know why they survived? Because they followed their dad. My dad was not a Christian man. Oh, when y'all knew him, he was a Christian. He'd been saved and baptized. And like this sister back here, I was baptized with my dad because when I walked the aisle at 5 and wanted to get baptized, he said, no, you need to wait. I think I was 12 years old. He got baptized, so he let me get baptized. But he was not a Christian man most of his life. If I'd have followed him, I'd have probably gone the wrong way. You see, it was Mom that got us to church until we got to the point where we could go on our own. If somebody's following you, where are they going? If your children, your grandchildren, follow your example, where are they going? What's important? What do they talk about? What matters? Where do they spend their money? Where are they investing their lives and their energy? Because I'm going to tell you something. Hell is a hot place for a long time. I'm glad that now the fifth of my five is getting baptized. That's exciting. I was glad when he got saved. I knew he was going to heaven then, but now he's getting baptized. Put him to work. What if I hadn't? Would Corey be a deputy, or would he be on the other side of the bars? Would Timmy be in that ambulance going out there to save and rescue people in the ghettos, or would he be living in the ghettos? You see, we got to set an example. We got to give him a right path. And look, I didn't tell Corey to go out and be a deputy. That's something he wanted to do. Got to let them do their own thing. I didn't tell Timmy to be an EMT. Got to let them do their own thing. But you got to give them something to follow. You got to give them some standard to follow. You got to give them something not just in the sense of spirituality, but of practicality. Yes, they're saved. Yes, they're going to heaven. I like to believe, yes, they love Jesus. What kind of example are we setting? I look at Noah and I say, Noah did a great job. Yeah, his sons didn't all turn out right. Go over a couple of chapters. One of them really messed up, didn't he? But what about it? Was that something Noah could have avoided? We're going to make mistakes. But let's make a decision today to be the best we can be. Examples, mentors. Let's stand.